Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Heather Brennan, and Heather is a super fan, I guess, and here to talk to you right now about cosplay. Mm-hmm. And then if you stick around an hour later, she'll talk to you about anime.
Okay, my name is Heather Brennan. I'm 52 years old. Last year I watched 89 series and movies of anime. Most of it was power watching because I was on a panel called Anime Year in Review for 2015 and I made it. I was the token female and token old person. Everyone else was guys and younger. I've been a lifelong anime fan. I've watched mostly in French when I was 10 years old. And once I found the anime club at Queens, I've been a lifelong member. So I've been watching more and more anime and power watching. I usually pick a theme a month and just watch whatever. So there are times anime disappoints me. There are times it amuses me. There are times when it makes me cry. Part of anime culture is cosplay, or costume play. And a lot of fans spend hours, tons of money, making costumes. So this is a sort of snapshot of cosplay. Brief history of cosplay, some terminology, some cosplay websites, cosplay controversies, and cosplay pictures. Cosplayers is a person who stays up all night to finish a costume, spending hours applying makeup, risking dying from heat stroke, doesn't sit down for hours, carries around heavy props all day, tortures their eye with colored contacts, and enjoys it so much to do it all as often as possible. I have friends who are like that. Cosplay is a term that originated in Japan, but is based on the English words costume play, essentially play acting in costume. In Japan, cosplay is not limited to anime mangas, but also a staple of many other entertainment industries such as sci-fi and horror. In North America, the term cosplay is generally reserved for anime and manga-related costuming, but it's now spilling over to Marvel and other stuff like that.
Star Trek has been doing
so it. This is my niece, Beth, dressed up as Ritsu from Fruits Basket. The girl on the left is Guo, and the girl on the right is Hana. They're also from Fruits Basket. I made that kimono. I am never doing it again. Kimonos are the national dress of Japan, and they are very difficult to make. I did get kudos from the Japanese Cultural Association. There was a couple ladies showing how to do origami, and I did the costume as a New Year's costume, and I found out what the symbols are for to put on a costume, and I got props for that. Cosplay can be divided into two categories, basic cosplay and masquerade. While basic cosplay only involves an attempt to look like a particular character either in the halls of a convention or on stage, masquerade is much more involved. By masquerading, cosplayers attempt to act the character as the character would. They often have prepared skits with memorized lines, and the more advanced masqueraders can easily ad-lib their characters' personalities. So, that's an armored cosplay. I'm never doing that. I admire the dedication and work because that's hundreds of hours of molding, finishing, painting, and also there's LED lights involved. So that person gets kudos. Anime manga cosplay has become very popular amongst fans in Japan and North America. Some cosplayers make their own costumes, investing large amounts of time and money in the process, while others buy their costumes from professional costume designers. The end products are generally shown off at anime conventions. Many anime conventions hold contests for cosplay and for masquerade. In the States, there's what's called a hall cosplay, where you can get a prize for having the best costume in the hallway. And that's a totally separate costume event compared to what the masquerade is. This is an original cosplay, Canadian cosplay. This guy started showing up as a mech Tim Hortons. And he's very popular. Everybody tries to catch him when they're at Anime North. Some successful cosplayers have become very popular and are considered celebrities in their own right. Yaya Han is one of the most well-known in North America. She does she knows how to embody the characters and has some of the most beautiful costumes either she made or are made for her. Unfortunately, I forgot to bring a picture of her. Crossplay is a subcategory of cosplay where the cosplayer dresses as a character of the opposite sex, for example, a woman dressing as Vash the Stampede or a man dressing as Sailor Moon. And, sometimes you can do King cosplays like Tetris.
Or King's Devil Mongoli, too, depending on how you look at it.
Yes. Well, it's basically, you know, you just be as creative as possible with what you have. This was the award-winning cosplay from Anime North 2014. You can see all the amount of detail, work, effort, and they wore those costumes 2 days in a row. Yes. And also, you know, some of them are not easy to sit down in, so you really, really have to be careful. And sometimes going to the bathroom in them can be very awkward. One of the cosplay panels last year I went to was cosplay for guys, and one of the guys says, make sure if you're one of the big things, you have a buddy to make sure you're okay, and also have an escape route from your costume, because if you die of heat stroke, it's your own fault. Or if you can't go to the bathroom, yeah, it's your own fault. Everyone can cosplay. Even Homunculi from Fullmetal Alchemist will do it. Crossplay and fem cosplay. Crossplay, noun. Unaccountable form of cosplay which one dresses up as a character of the opposite sex, blend of cross-dressing and cosplay. This has nothing to do with the gender or sexual orientation of the person. They basically are embodying the character that they admire the most, and I asked a guy one year, why do you cosplay as a woman? Because I like the character and she's the one I want to be.
So basically like myself dressed as Sailor Moon.
Yeah. This is a guy just playing as one of his favorite characters, and it's not about what his gender is. It's about who he enjoys being.
And my daughter wants to play still.
This is from Anime North. This was the crossplay panel at Anime North in 2013. The reason why I'm bringing this up, this couple thanked me profusely because the panel panelists didn't show. We're sitting there waiting for 20 minutes for them. They were going to call it, and I put my hand up and said, I can moderate. And I moderated. We exchanged, you know, how-to tips on how to make yourself look one gender or another. For girls, you know, padding with the shoulder pads. And we had people who had theater experience, makeup experience, fashion design experience. And we're all exchanging ideas on how to do cross-plays. And we had a couple of sad stories, but one funny story. This girl said this girl was cross-playing as a guy. Her dad objected, but her mom said she could. And that's all that, you know, that was the only permission she needed to go out dressed as a guy. And these two thanked me because it was like the panel was going to get called. I got a nice little button for my troubles. And that's my in to doing panels, because Fingers, who runs the panels at Anime North, remembered me.
What are panels?
Panels are like something like this, except you generally have three to four people talking about a specific subject.
Okay.
And this is a femme cosplay. The girl beside me, that's me doing the Zumi Curtis, by the way. The girl beside me is doing a femme Edward Elric. Edward Elric is from the anime series Fullmetal Alchemist, also from the manga Fullmetal Alchemist, and there's a live-action movie coming out this fall. And she's doing a girl version of a male character, and there's a lot of people doing that. There's a lot of people doing femme versions of Thor, Loki, any character you imagine, they're making it into girls. I haven't heard too much about the reverse. Hopefully I can find some. But this girl was super happy to see Megumi Curtis at Anime North because it's one of the more rarer characters to see at Anime North. People were calling, teacher, teacher! And I'm like, sometimes I don't hear it, sometimes I did hear it. Yes?
Were they just the woman doing a male character, or are they doing a feminized version of the male character?
They're doing a feminized version of the male character. So you can see she's wearing a skirt as opposed to a jacket and pants.
That's cool.
Yep. Most cosplay websites are commercial ones, with the exception of cosplay.com. This one has a lot of photos. People join. They put photos up of their stuff. They also have a lot of how-to tips. Otherwise, other cosplays, websites are retail sites. So this is the one you go to get a critique or help or some general knowledge on how to do certain things. Cosplay controversies. Cosplaying while black. Cosplaying while fat. Cosplaying while disabled. Cosplay with hijab. Make or buy your cosplay. Cosplaying should not be limited by skin color. This is more of a bigger controversy in the States because, unfortunately, anime characters look white. So everyone assumes they're white. In Japan, they're because of the big eyes and everything. In Japan, they are seen as Japanese, period. So it has a lot to do with cultural views on what things are. So a lot of black cosplayers who do enjoy anime, even though some of the characters, some characters in anime are very stereotypical, though they are getting a little bit better about that. But this is a Sailor Moon cosplay. I think it's, no, Sailor Mars. And it's a beautiful job. And that's all that comes down to. There is a big controversy of cosplaying while blackface or brownface. Now, because there's so few characters that are brown-skinned or black-skinned in anime, a lot of the people of those skin types resent people who do brownface. There was a huge controversy a couple of years ago of this one girl who did a Michonne from The Walking Dead. It didn't help that she was she did a beautiful job. It didn't help that she was German. And she was well known for doing cosplays, so she once the controversy hit her from the States, she took the picture down and everything. It's a very, very touchy subject, especially in the States. And in fact, a lot of J-pop bands and J-rock band, K-pop bands are finding that they cannot do blackface because their American fans will turn on them. Cosplaying is not limited by body size. I do not look like Azumi Curtis. I'm not in good shape. The woman's in good shape. So I just did the best I could with what I had. And it's still a nice
I think the best Akuma. Idea if you're going to do cosplay like that, create your own character, and then it won't matter if you're black or fat or whatever.
If you like a character for the character.
It depends, because sometimes it's the like I said, there's so many limited things because of, you know, and also in Japan, there's not as many black people. So they don't cater. Though they are getting better about that and having more darker skin characters, they're still a very homogenous culture. So different and standing out and being different is not good in Japan. This guy I love because he shows up every year at Anime North and he does the cat bus for My Neighbor Totoro. So he's in a wheelchair. And so he adapted his wheelchair into a mode of transportation. This is Misa on Wheels. She has a Facebook profile. She also has Charcot-Marie-Tooth muscular dystrophy. As you can see, her legs, the extremes of her legs and arms are, the muscles are wasted away. She's best known for her Misa from Death Note, but she's also done other cosplays of different characters. She loves mermaids. She's an advocate for cosplay, regardless of size, skin color, and ability. I met her. When you meet her, you are just overwhelmed by the fact that she just seems to radiate cheerfulness. And I accidentally stepped on her wheelchair, too. But I missed her panels because I was working the masquerade. But she's just phenomenal, very friendly, very knowledgeable, and that was her first appearance at Anime North outside, and she usually mostly does New England, because that's where she lives. That's her first time she's been to Canada. And that's her doing, that's her doing Kiki from Kiki's Delivery Service. Cosplay with hijab. Full Malakos Edward Alec with a yellow headscarf. A lot of Muslim fans do enjoy anime. The more observant females just adjust the hijab to make it look like it's hair. So this young lady used a yellow headscarf to make it look like she was Edward Elric. And I think she's also cross-playing because she didn't fem it up. And I just ran into her. It's like, can I take your picture? This is me. This is my first cosplay. Doing from Silver Spoon, which is a wonderful series about a high school boy going to a farm high school in Hokkaido. Most everything I have on me came from Smith Army Surplus. Yay! And phase two for the black t-shirt and the pig came from the dollar store. She's the instructor for the pig barn. And she also wears red lipstick. So she's a very no-nonsense type of woman, but she also has a certain softness to her with the indication of the red lipstick. So that's me after we set up for the masquerade that year, and I went home because my knees were killing me. Setting up chairs is a little hard at my age. This is me doing a Zumi Curtis. It's a lab coat that I modified. I took the sleeves off, edged it so that it wouldn't fray, tightened it in the back so it would tighten up a little bit. I already had the sandals, and I got the pants from Value Village, the capri pants, and the wig I bought on eBay. So I still need to modify my wig a bit. But the boy next, on the left, is my nephew Rufus, who's doing Wrath, who is her son from the Fullmetal Alchemist original. And David, who's the young guy here, is doing Ling from the Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood. And I bought that costume because I just didn't have the time or patience to make it. So that's a combination of making your own and doing... So this is the original sources for my cosplays. Cosplay pictures. There's an etiquette. I was asked to take a picture. If you're at a fan con, you always ask. I asked this gentleman if I could take his daughter's picture. I always ask a parent or guardian of cosplaying children, because there are some legal wranglings over the pictures, because now it's my property under Canadian law.
What about
but I always American? Ask permission.
Hmm? What about under American law, whose property would the picture be?
It depends on what the copyrights are in each country, and that's what it comes down to.
Okay, I was just thinking, because you just mentioned that.
Because I will keep the picture in my private collection. It will never be posted in anywhere.
Yeah.
Because I respect the privacy of the child and the parent.
And of the family.
Yeah. A lot of people do post pictures of kids from fan events, and I generally get a little leery about that.
Yeah, I do too.
I have pictures of a little girl who's doing a cosplay. It will never be posted on Facebook or anywhere else.
Yeah.
It's for
any
myself.
Any pictures on my Facebook is usually... one I have is from the art center downstairs.
Yeah.
The mother took the picture of the kid and I, the boy fighting with the sword that he made.
Oh,
and
nice.
She put it on her page and told me I could share it to my page.
Yep. And that's proper etiquette.
Yeah.
Always ask to don't take pictures in crowded hallways. This is not so crowded, but at Anime North, there's some of the hallways get very packed. Use basic photography skills. I always have light fall on your subject. Always compliment the cosplay. A lot of the cosplays I've come up to, there's one, I would look at the details of the character and emphasize that when I was taking the picture. When, oops, did I misspell? Yes, I spelled weekend, sorry. beginning in late April and all through May, people are going to be posting what they're wearing Friday, what they're wearing Saturday, what they're wearing Sunday, and sometimes they have two cosplays on Saturdays. So they'll post a picture of the character or what they have made already. And it can get, it got so full on the official Facebook page for Anime North, they had to make a separate one for cosplay support at Anime North. So that's when anything that had to do with cosplay, like how do I fix this? How do I make that? How do I find this wig? They had to make a separate website for a Facebook page for it. So these are some of the cosplays I've taken over the years. This is from 2007. This is Blood Trinity. And easily the one on the right took at least 300 hours. Easily. Because I've seen another girl do another one. And she said it took her 300 hours to make the costume herself. And you can see that the one young man has made wings, and the wings folded out. So there's a lot of mechanical apparatuses in cosplay as well. This girl did the Sliver Queen from Magic the Gathering card game. I was at the masquerade office. We had just shut down for entries. She showed up and she was about ready to melt down on us. And I looked at the picture and that cosplay, that was the thing she done. It took her a year to make. We just said, we just handed her an application and said, don't tell anybody we did this. And she was hugely grateful and she won her category that year. So as you can see, that's hundreds of hours of work. This is my nephew David doing Krona from Soul Eater. And we ran on our way down from the hotel to the fence. We found another Krona. So we took pictures together. And she was very excited to see another Krona, especially a young one, because a lot of, we want to encourage the next generation or another group of people cosplaying characters. I need this girl's con. Because I just arrived to pick up stuff. She's doing Red Sonja from the Marvel Comics from the 70s. Hardly anybody recognized her. And I said, Red Sonja, can I take your picture? And so we posed her. And then she hugged me. Because I was the first person in the first hour of the con being open who recognized her. So, and as I said, and my mental comment to myself was, yeah, I'm old enough because I remember the comic books. But she did a beautiful job. And luckily it was warm enough for her to walk around in that chainmail bikini. This is the execs from the Queen's Anime Club. They're doing Light Yagami and L from Death Note. And I still have to send them a copy of the picture. That's an easy character to role play, but it was just running around, like they're lining up for a panel. So I just quickly grabbed a snapshot of them. This guy is doing Inspector Gadget. He used stuff he could find in his closet, plus he made the helicopter hat that Inspector Gadget has. And so that was a pretty decent cosplay. It was very entertaining, and it was also a cartoon that's, I think, Canadian, isn't it?
Inspector Gadget? I think it's Canadian.
Yeah. Is it Canadian?
I thought it was French. French.
No. I have to look that up now. And this is our plans for cosplay for this year at Anime North. He wants to do Kibe-chan for Pula Pula Modoka Magica. And I'm trying to make something kind of like that. Which is going to take... basically, we're going to use a onesie pattern. And I'm going to have to figure out how to make the head.
Pillowcase and some stuffing.
Well, it's gonna have to figure out something, but I finally got all the material, so now it's just a matter of spending my weekends doing it.
A pumpkin. I know it would probably stink afterwards, but something like a pumpkin, his head inside a pumpkin. That's what I did for Halloween.
So a lot of cosplays involve time, effort, money. There's a cute, in the cosplay community, there's a cute comment going around. They were commenting about how they did, what was it? Not Sleeping Beauty. Cinderella. Somebody, the person who did the costume design said, we did this and we did that and we matched all this and all these Swarovski crystals and so on and so forth. And the comment under that, and they did 19 copies of it. So this big flouncy dress so that you would, And somebody commented, yeah, and it'll take a cosplayer $300 on the kitchen table and so many hours, and it'll be equally, gorgeous. A lot of cosplayers have their own websites, their own Facebook page. Some of them are guest speakers in a lot of fan cons and so on and so forth. This year, there's also competitions. This year, I'm actually entering the costume I'm making for him because it's motivating me to actually do a decent job. So, what is it? What's the one where they blow up stuff, the series? Adam
Bomb?
Mythbusters.
Mythbusters. Adam. Adam Savage is well known in the cosplay community because he's done a My Neighbor Totoro. And what he did was he started at the top and worked his way around, and he used rattan to create the form because he needed something transportable. And that's the other issue with cosplay. I can't bring certain kinds of things because we're taking the bus to Toronto, and then we're taking the metro, and then we're taking the bus to get to the con. So I'm trying to make the costume as takeable and as returnable as possible. Well, I need something to fit into a suitcase because basically it's a lot of, especially the more competitive ones, they ship their costumes. One of the things you see in Heroes of Cosplay is some of their shipment gets messed, stuff is missing, so you end up with situations where you're melting down because parts of your costume have not arrived at the hotel. So I'm trying to make costumes that I can pack into a suitcase, that I can get onto a bus. The fun part about going to Anime North is if you get on the metro at a certain time of day, you will see people in costume already. Or you will see people, or Fan Expo. My friend Kate does a Mask of the Red Death. She noticed people were staying at the other end of the station away from her. But she did a beautiful job, and a lot of there are a lot of women who are fans of the Phantom of the Opera, so they had their pictures taken with her every time. She also does a beautiful Kurt Wagner from Nightcrawler. She does a lot of crossplay. She prefers male characters, and she has done the only Abe Sapien from Hellboy that made the Mike Mignola stop talking whenever she came into the room. Because everybody does Hellboy, but they don't do Abe Sapien, and she loves Abe Sapien. So she's dressed up in blue, she's had to adjust the eyes so that she could see, and Mike Mignola was just thrilled to see her because it was just so unexpected for him. There are you know, people who criticize people for not being in shape for certain cosplays. I have no issue because, yeah. but there are some controversies where people hate people for cosplaying with a hijab or whatever. And so there are some downsides to the community. But generally, I look at the cosplay and compliment it. There's a Geek Girls Facebook page. They post a lot of people's cosplays. So, and there's also books on cosplays. So these two, I haven't read this one, but I have read this one. Gerrit Schisk is well known in the cosplay community. This book covers a lot of people who cosplay despite size, style, and so on and so forth. Lisa Emiles is in here, and I mentioned this to her that the reason I knew about her was because of this book. And she smiled because she's like, you know, it was good to, because I met Girl Gare the year before. So there's all sorts of cosplay books out there as well. I don't think the library has any, but they do have books on costuming to help you. So, I would like to look, just a brief look. So, any other questions?
Well, I can show you my daughter's cosplay.
Ah, how's that coming along?
We actually got it on eBay.
Ah, Ciel from Black Butler.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll see her.
How popular is cosplay in creating your own character?
There are some people who do original characters, or there are some people who will do cosplays from people's web comics, too.
Okay.
So it's not that uncommon.
Okay, I'm talking like something that I created myself and has never been seen in any other comic book or something like that.
Yeah, there are people who do that, mm-hmm. Because you can make your own characters that way.
Yeah. And I've done, I've made a kid's teddy bear version of this outfit. I've also, in a few years ago, I did an action figure in which I put myself in a large cardboard box. And it looks like, you know, like the Batman figure you see at the store.
Yeah. Oh, that's creative.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, I have tons of pictures of cosplays that I like. And a lot of it is like, I don't even know what they're from in some cases. Mm-hmm. There was, like, video games I'm not into. But if you do a decent cosplay of it, I will take your picture because it's the detail, attention to detail and the work and the fact that you're walking around in something that will probably give you heat exhaustion, I admire.
Yeah. Well, I found that, like this one, for example, is the action figure.
Oh, that is just adorable.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic.
Just kick this, you know, turn it back on again.
Oh, yeah.
Good job.
And it wasn't that expensive to make either because it was just a regular, somebody was going to throw this huge cardboard box out. They just got themselves a photocopy machine, and I said, I want that box.
Well, the Tim Hortons guy. All he did was raid a lot of Tim Hortons dumpsters or just saved everything and then made the mech king, the mech guy. Mm-hmm. There are some, one of the things that the cosplay for guys they mentioned was all sorts of stuff about, like, make sure you have an escape route from your costume because if you know, you have to go to the bathroom, you have to eat, you have to drink, and if
my escape route was getting out of the big front of the box was my escape route,
yeah.
And it had windows on the side too.
Yeah, the guy he did a cosplay. He did 101 Dalmatians, the villain, Cruella De Vil. He did Cruella De Vil, except what he did was, he had lined the jacket he was wearing with Beanie Baby Dalmatians, 101. And I didn't get to see it. It was like, oh, I wish I had seen you because I would have taken your picture. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people cosplay all sorts of things at all sorts of times.
One year in San Diego, there's always lots of people around San Diego. They're handing out free stuff,
yep.
A ton of it. Someone grabbed all the free stuff they can get, and on Sunday they put it all together as a costume, and they were like the free stuff guy with a bunch of crap.
Usually at the fan cons, there's somebody called the cosplay medic. There's a guy because sometimes your seam unravels, something falls off, something needs touch ups. One of the etiquettes of fan cons is bring a towel if you're in body makeup. Because it rubs off on furniture. Mm-hmm. A lot of hotels have no patience for, you know, the extra time and effort that it takes to take makeup off or hair or hair dyes. So they've been known to ding people for little screw-ups and stuff like that. So people are encouraged to make sure that they get proper makeup setters or bring a towel so when they sit down, they put something on the towel and the towel absorbs them. Kate... always made herself up, usually in blue. Blue characters were her thing. And so she brought her own towels when we went to Fan Expo. And so that when she had her shower and took the makeup off for her Kurt Wagner, she didn't have to worry about it. She also made a really decent tail for that character. And it was flexible. And one of the people in the industry came up to him and said, how did you do that? So she showed him. So she had a brace, and she attached the tail to it, and the tail was like these little wooden
dots. You know those snakes?
That
wriggle?
She did that. She made sort of like one of those wooden snakes, but bigger, and covered it over, and it was a... I hated that tail because it kept smacking me in the legs. So, but it was, you know, it got a lot of attention. And, you know, people figuring out mechanics for a lot of stuff is always interesting. I haven't quite decided if I'm putting a tail on his character yet, but I did get enough stuff for it. So it's just a matter of trying to figure out a way to so it will hang and not drag is going to be the hard part. So any other questions, suggestions? comments? Is there anything I can do to improve this, make it maybe a little longer?
I would say that when I did my own, I never did cosplay when I was a boy. I was always my own outfit, and kids dressed as me for Halloween, so it was pretty easy for me to see past skin color because I was living in a village of Inuit people. So it was easy for me to see past that when the kids were dressed as myself or dressed as Batman. And the kids loved doing me because I worked in a thrift store where I made the costume. And they were maybe $5, where the Batman costume for her would be about $60.
A lot of it depends on, like, when you're in a cosplay competition, there are stages. So there's novice, intermediate, and advanced, and it varies a little bit by country. There is a huge cosplay event in Japan, and Canada is now participating in it. So the winner of a certain cosplay event, and I think it's at Montreal at Otaku-Con, gets to go to Japan to represent Canada. And sometimes it's exhausting, sometimes it's not what they were expecting, but they show up and still, and also the getting the costume to Japan is also almost prohibitively expensive. But they still show up, and as somebody once commented, one of the people at the Masquerade office at Anmanor said, yeah, we'll just post a GoFundMe page and they'll get funded because people want the Canada to be represented because we have a lot of really good cosplayers. My friend Erica is still working on some cosplays. She did some, she has a thing for maids in anime, so she has a few maid cosplays. The other issue with cosplay is closet space. It is hard to keep some of your cosplays like glad, minor, I can stick it all on a hanger and I'm done, I'm good. But there are people who have cosplays that, my friend Kate had one where she had to eventually throw it out because she was moving and the place she was moving to was smaller than what she had. Kate is notorious for having the den of concentrated fandom because she has Star Wars, she has Phantom of the Opera, she has Hellboy, she has Nightcrawler, she has a bunch of anime, so she's Ninja Turtles. Oh, Kate did a beautiful Ninja Turtle. The first year I went to Anime North, I'm hanging out with my friends. I'm not cosplaying at all. In fact, I did all the ironing for the hakamas, which is a specialized pant for samurais and stuff like that. You needed your hakamas pressed, I was your girl. Otherwise, I did cosplay support. I would help people. Kate did her own Leonardo. And we got stopped almost every 5 minutes as we're walking from our hotel down to the main venue. Why? Because everybody loves Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You didn't see too many of them like 20 years ago. And she was a hit. Like everybody was like all over her every chance they get. There are some characters that are more popular than others. There are some that are so obscure that, if you recognize them, the person's all over you. Like that red song there. She's not that obscure, but not as many people remember her. There are some I ask, what's the character? Because I just look at the work that they did and I admire it. There's a lot of, some people do variations on the character as well. And there was one woman who did a African Sailor Moon. So it was a beautiful. She Africanized the Sailor Moon costume. And she also had a similar costume for her little girl. My friend Erica, last year, entered her daughter in the junior division as Squirtle. So they had her walk to Daddy on the stage, and then halfway down the stage, everyone's going, ooh, ah, and laughing and clapping. And then she stopped, looked at the audience, and, we have a cosplayer in the going, because she was, like, reacting to the crowd very well. So, anything else?
How long has cosplay been going on through history?
The actual start of cosplay is actually not with anime. It goes further back to the 30s with Leigh Brackett. Leigh Brackett was a sci-fi writer. When the first World Sci-Fi Con started up, she would make costumes for herself and her husband, whose name escapes me, And that's when costuming for fan events started. So every year at the World's, Warsaw Fi things, when she was there, she always had a costume for her husband, some of her friends. So it just continued. And then Star Trek, when all the Star Trek conventions started, people started doing Star Trek characters. And Star Wars. So more and more, as fan events started, people started dressing up as characters from their favorite books, comic books, and so on and so forth. I've gone to MapleCon, and there were people dressed up as the various Marvel or DC characters in the hallways and stuff like that. Or people would do original costumes, too. Costume playing has been around a long time. And like I said, cosplay, the word only came about during the 80s when some report of some guy was watching a different sci-fi or fantasy con in the States and noticed people dressed up as the various characters.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the most expensive one that you've seen?
Oh!
And the hardest to put together?
I didn't see it, but the girl who did the Sliver Queen did another character. It was a Pokemon. It was a big blue and white thing that could not fit into the masquerade hall. And I missed it completely. I follow her on Facebook.
Dalek.
There's some motorized Daleks because all the tech involved for making sure it gets from point A to point B. The little robots from Ghost in the Shell. The Katamachis, I think they're called. A couple of people have done those, either for wheelchairs or for themselves, and getting them walking around is difficult. It also varies from how authentic you want to be. My friend Kate used actual red velvet for her, so she's got this cape, this costume in red velvet. So she was doing the Mask of the Red Death. So that was like not cheap on the material.
I think this was the most expensive I've ever heard of or seen. It was at the Frontenac Mall 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
The Brampton Batman.
Oh, Brampton Batman, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He looks and talks like Christian Bale, but he's driving Michael Keaton's Batmobile.
The most expensive one I've seen.
Push the top button, it'll come back on again.
Buddy just made an Arrow costume from Season Zero. But he actually works for the company that makes the costume. So it's a $5,000 costume plus accessories. But it's exact. There's no difference whatsoever. Same hand.
And the funny thing was, too, that he actually drives that car all over the place. He doesn't put it in the back of a truck like some other cosplayers might do.
Yeah. Well, it also comes down, sometimes it's, you got to be careful with that kind of, because I think he broke down at one point and had to be towed.
That was another one. There was another Batman that did break down. He was killed when another car hit him.
I didn't hear that.
It was just after he visited the children's hospital.
That's another thing, is there's a lot of celebrities who show up. The guy who does Guardians of the Galaxy... It's the lead actor's name.
The guy who played Star Wars?
Chris Pratt has shown up at hospitals for kids dressed up in character. Ryan Reynolds, I think, has done it a couple times.
Chris
Evans also does it a lot, too.
He did a Deadpool one for kids with cancer, and they actually watched the movie together.
Will Wheaton likes to go to Comic-Con in costume so that he can go to the go and not get mobbed.
Yeah, well, and a few celebrities have done that. John Barrowman shows up in cosplay sometimes, and people don't recognize him because it's his way of wandering around and stuff like that so that he can enjoy the event himself. There's a lot of... the Totoro. A few people knew... Adam was up to something, but they didn't know exactly what. A few people do follow him on Twitter and stuff and Facebook, so they knew he was working on it. So when they saw him at New York Comic Con, they were like ecstatic. And for him, it's the I admire the fact that he has technical skills because it's like I'm not going to be able to put video in for him, so there's going to be a little hole for, in the mask in the head for him to see. But you know, he hid the camera under the leaf for the Totoro head. So, you know, and then he was watching people's reactions to him as you are. Because Totoro is one of the iconic anime movies that everybody starts with Studio Ghibli. And they, you know, when they see a Totoro, they practically, you know, glomp. Glomp is a term that says you hug somebody very fiercely, but with generally without their permission. So you have, there's generally no glomping rules. Unless you're walking around the slum saying, please glomp me. Yeah, the no touching rule is big for cosplayers. There's a lot of, also there's a lot of backlash against especially female cosplayers from some people because they're saying they're fake. They're fake geeks and stuff like that, which they're not.
But it's also sometimes you've got to worry about if you're going to grab somebody, maybe they yeah. might break something that they
yeah.
put
yeah. in. Yeah, and that's the other thing, which is why... a lot of people, if they're in those costumes that cover them too much, they generally have a buddy with them. They have to have a buddy with them at Anime North. There's also weapons rules. You have to do, if you're making a weapon, you have to have it checked in with the weapons master. You cannot have real weapons. You cannot have weapons that are fake, like fake guns. They can't be realistic. They have to be fake looking because otherwise... If the Toronto police show up, then yeah, you're stupid enough to have something that looks too real. It could get messy. You know, that's the kind of publicity you didn't want. There was, I think the police got called to a con event in Ottawa because somebody showed up in costume with weapons and people thought something bad was happening. And the person got arrested, even though everything the gun was fake. So I'm sure the charges got dismissed eventually. I didn't hear any follow-up, which... But it's like you have to be careful when you're walking around.
Well, I think with guns,
stuff.
You would also not be allowed to fire any or even have any projectiles in it.
Yeah,
like,
that's a big no-no.
Because there are some, a lot of toy guns come with projectiles and
yeah.
and such.
Yeah.
If you're carrying a real gun, and I get mistaken, I mean, you can be charged with public disturbance.
Yeah.
Sure. It actually happened at San Diego. One guy showed up. And he had the actual real gun, but he took out the firing pin. And he was trying to convince them that, oh, yeah, I can, you know, it's safe and all that stuff. But they wouldn't do it because 150,000 people are there.
Yeah.
Every 10 minutes, someone's going to be on the phone saying that's
yeah.
a real gun.
Yeah. yeah. That's why they insist that it has to be fake or colored a certain way to prove that it's fake. You know, there's only so much realism you can do because
yeah.
otherwise it's just too much.
I once got... a gun to the attention of a store up north. It looked fake, but it turns out when I was looking at the package, because it was in the toy section,
yeah.
it didn't even belong there. It, you could actually see the insides of the gun, so I thought it was a toy at first. And then when I saw the package, very tiny print said, this is a real weapon, do not let children handle. It was a type of pellet or paintball
oh,
gun or something like that.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you got to be careful with that because even the store was fooled into thinking that the kids, like the kind of toy I might play with, that had the lights
yeah.
and stuff inside.
Yeah. Can do a lot of damage.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, pellets and paintball can do a lot of damage. Having played, done paintball games, it's definitely gotten swelts out of my for my troubles. All right. Well, 5 minutes to the next panel. So if you want to take a break and walk around, and you can come back. I'll be here. I'll get set up for that.
Oh.
My time right. Thank you for coming.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's been enlightening, and I hopefully will add some more stuff over time.